From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, the legislative session winds down. Our political observer, Alan Shartok, shares his thoughts on that and lawmakers' agreement over rail improvements, and Muslims and public officials in New York call for peace after the mass shooting in Orlando. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. The legislature was closing down on the end of session this week, a deal that would strip convicted lawmakers of their pensions, extend mayor control of New York City schools for one more year, and legalize daily fantasy sports gambling. The Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt reports on what is and isn't in the final session agreement.
Legislators already agreed to expand the hours New Yorkers can drink alcohol, permitting drinks to be served starting at 10 a.m. on Sundays instead of the current noon start time. On certain special occasions, bars and restaurants can apply for a permit to start serving liquor at 8 a.m. Lawmakers also reached a tentative deal to legalize daily fantasy sports. But the sponsor of the bill, Senator John Bonasick, said late Thursday evening that he still wants time on Friday to present the bill to a closed-door Republican Senate conference to determine if there are enough votes among GOP senators to pass the bill.
We'll be back tomorrow, and I've asked the majority leaders who want me to brief the conference. And I'm optimistic that we'll have the votes in the Senate.
Senator Bonasick concedes he may need votes from some Democrats in the Senate in order for the measure to pass. Attorney General Eric Schneiderman halted the daily fantasy sports games last fall, but said they could resume if the legislature acted to regulate them. Lawmakers had more trouble getting agreements on ethics reforms in a year that's seen the two former legislative leaders sentenced to prison and state and federal probes of Governor Cuomo's economic development programs. A measure to close a major campaign finance loophole involving limited liability companies has not gained traction in the state Senate, and other measures, including a crackdown on super PACs, did not appear to be part of the final deal yet. The one bill that was apparently agreed upon would cancel the pensions of lawmakers convicted of a felony. Earlier in the day, Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie expressed hope that it could be done.
Pension forfeiture will be resolved one way or the other.
Blair Horner with the New York Public Interest Research Group says it's a failure if no other ethics reforms are approved in the 2016 session.
The session that allows purchasing alcohol and betting online as big accomplishments would be, I think, a far cry from what I think New Yorkers deserve and want out of Albany. They want to stop reading in the newspapers about their elected officials doing the perp walk. They expect Albany to clean itself up, and they have every right to expect that.
While legislators are extending the use of one drug, alcohol, they also acted to restrict the use of other drugs, heroin and opiates. The new measure makes it easier to get treatment, eliminating some roadblocks by health insurers. It focuses more on helping people than punishing addicts with jail time, says Senate bill co-sponsor Terrence Murphy.
It doesn't matter if you're a man, if you're a woman, if you're black, if you're white, what religion you have. It has shaken down very, very, very good families.
Homeless advocates are disappointed with the apparent failure to follow through with the bulk of Governor Cuomo's plan to spend $2 billion on supportive and affordable housing. 6,000 of 20,000 promised units were approved in the state budget, but homeless advocates reacting to reports that just an additional $150 million of the total would be freed up in the final agreement called it ridiculously inadequate. Assemblyman Andrew Hevesy was pessimistic when he spoke earlier in the week on the issue.
You'll notice that one of the worst-kept secrets in Albany is that funding for homelessness never seems to materialize.
Another measure that seemed to be falling off the table as the session drew to a close, allowing ride-sharing services like Uber and Lyft to operate in Long Island and upstate New York. Assembly Speaker Hastie said the measure was on life support. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Residents of Hoosick Falls came to the Capitol this week to demand hearings on the water crisis that has revealed high levels of a toxic chemical in many people's bloodstreams. They did not get the hearings, but did get a private meeting with a top aide to Governor Andrew Cuomo. Meanwhile, months after the state of New York began responding to high levels of a toxic chemical in water supplies in Hoosick Falls, several steps have been taken, including the installation of filtration systems on the village water supply and private wells. But as the Legislative Gazette's Lucas Willard reports from Rensselaer County, the people of Hoosick Falls are still worried.
Inside the North Hoosick Firehouse is another meeting where local residents are looking for answers.
How many people here had their blood tested?
Recently, the New York State Department of Health began returning blood testing results for local residents affected by the PFOA contamination in the drinking water. The meeting, June 10th, was organized by Weitz & Luxembourg, the firm that is building a class action suit against companies Honeywell and Saint-Gobain, which operated in Hoosick Falls at the buildings that have been declared a state Superfund site. Though Saint-Gobain stopped manufacturing with PFOA in 2003, the source and length of time the chemical has been in the groundwater are unknown. Lynn Anson and her 10-year-old son Tyler recently received their PFOA blood tests from the state health department.
Mine was pretty high, 124. Not as high as some, but higher than others. My son's was 44. He's only 10 years old, so it's a really scary thing.
Anson's levels are 10 times higher than the national average. Although much about PFOA and its sister chemical, PFOS, remains unknown, the perfluorinated chemicals have been linked to several health effects, including various forms of cancer. Anson, like many in town, believes more screening should be done.
Something needs to be done now, I think, and the government should be paying for it, for all the testing, not just blood tests, for the screenings that they have to do, for liver screenings, kidney screenings, whatever. They should be taken care of by the government.
Weitz & Luxembourg attorney Robin Greenwald was providing tissues to several people sharing their stories. She said the days affect her as well.
These days are super emotional for me, but they're great because, you know, it's the only way you can really learn is I learn so much from the community. And so it's important. It's important, but it's hard. I mean, people really rightly are super concerned and understand it. And, you know, we don't have all the answers for them, which is really hard. Hope Department of Health steps up and gives some more answers for people.
Immediately following the sessions with the law firm, the same firehouse hosted a meeting of concerned citizens seeking more answers. One of the organizers of that meeting is Michelle O'Leary, who moved to Hoosick Falls in September and began delivering bottled water to homebound residents after news broke of the contamination in November. She says the chemical contaminant has, in a way, brought her closer to her community.
It's more personal now that I'm seeing people's results coming in because I've kind of built up, you know, a communication amongst numerous people.
O'Leary, along with friend Lorene Hackett, took to social media to bring more attention to the people behind the Hoosick Falls headlines. The PFOA Project NY Facebook and Twitter pages feature photos of people holding their blood test results. In the few days since the launch of the pages, the groups have been featured in local and national news outlets.
All of a sudden now, it's like everybody packed up and is gone. So we feel almost like we're kind of being put on a back burner, swept aside, kind of like out of sight, out of mind, maybe we'll forget about it. And that's not going to happen. So that's why we figure we need to start taking a proactive approach and start doing something and making an effort because we just feel forgotten.
Meanwhile, in nearby Petersburg, which is also dealing with PFOA contamination, a new town supervisor was appointed. Town Councilman Alan Webster was named interim town supervisor after former supervisor Peter Schaphawk stepped down due to health reasons. Webster says the decision to step into the new role was easy for him.
I mean, this is not just about water. This is about the town operating smoothly. in all facets, and we have good people in place. And so in that sense, it was very easy to step up and do that, yes.
Investigations into the chemical in Vermont are also moving forward. Recently, high levels of PFOA were detected in North Pownal. The chemical has also been found in Pownal, Bennington, and North Bennington, Pittsford, and the Vermont Air National Guard Base in South Burlington. PFOA and PFOS were also detected in Newburgh, New York. The State Health Department did not immediately respond to a request for comment.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Lucas Willard.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and legislative leaders announced an agreement this week to improve rail safety measures across the state. A number of Hudson Valley lawmakers have been pushing for such legislation in the wake of a fatal collision in Westchester County last year. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn has more.
Governor Andrew Cuomo, Senate Majority Leader John Flanagan, Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie, and Senate Independent Democratic Conference Leader Jeff Klein announced the agreement, which includes initiatives to reduce the risk of collisions at grade crossings. The legislative deal contains four pieces. One will require frequent coordinated inspections of traffic control devices at highway rail crossings by state and local officials. Another imposes tougher penalties for repeat offenders who fail to comply with safety regulations. Hudson Valley Senator Terrence Murphy supports both and applauds their inclusion in the agreement.
After looking into it and realizing that the municipalities are in control of the lights and the railroad companies are in control of the barriers, common sense would have one hand talking to another. So this is part of the objective, is to get everybody on the same page and let these people know that anybody who's going to try and race through those barriers coming down, that there's going to be penalties for them. So it's a matter of public safety. It's a matter of making sure that all the people are safe. And that was really the objective of these bills.
In February 2015, a Metro North commuter train crashed into an SUV that was stopped on the tracks at the Commerce Street crossing in Valhalla, killing five people on the train. The car's driver also was killed. The crossing is in Murphy's district, prompting him to sponsor a bill requiring joint inspections of traffic signals at interconnected grade crossings. Senator David Carlucci also is behind a number of rail crossing safety measures.
Unfortunately, sometimes it takes a tragedy to get people to wake up and pay attention to this important issue.
Carlucci, an independent Democrat, says the legislative agreement is a step in the right direction.
I think that this package of bills really complements the legislation that we passed earlier this session in taking a comprehensive inventory of the 5,300 rail crossings, prioritizing them to know which are the most dangerous, which need a minor bit of work, which don't need any work at all. But if we have that comprehensive inventory, we're then able to do some of the big tasks, like eliminate some of the most deadly rail crossings and get the help from the federal government to back us up with the resources, with funding to make these changes and make sure we strengthen our rail system in New York.
Democratic Assemblyman Tom Abenanti agrees.
The agreement is a good supplement, not a substitute for the first piece of legislation which the legislature passed, which requires the Department of Transportation to study all railroad crossings in the state.
Abenanti sponsored the bill in the Assembly, Carlucci in the Senate. Murphy was a co-sponsor. The governor still has to sign it. One item excluded from the agreement is a bill Murphy co-sponsored calling for the installation of cameras at railroad crossings that would monitor crossing violations.
Well, you know, the cameras that I was kind of pushing that did not make it was unfortunate. That got pulled out. I would have loved to have seen, after working close with the MTA, which they were in very, very, very big supportive of, because that would have made their investigation, God forbid one of these accidents happened, actual footage of it, that they could find out where they're going right, where they're going wrong.
Murphy says he might try pushing for the cameras in the next session. Gary Holmes is State Department of Transportation spokesman.
So we commend the governor and the legislature for an agreement which highlights this agency's top priority, and that's safety. The increased inspections will ensure that these crossings meet a high safety standard, and the increase in penalties will go a long way towards really changing driver behavior.
The legislative agreement increases penalties up to $5,000 against railroad companies for each violation. Plus, the agreement requires private railroad companies to submit railroad bridge inspection reports to the state DOT on the same schedule as required by the federal government. Governor Cuomo also will launch a pilot program to improve driver awareness and behavior at railroad grade crossings.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. Alan, it's not the first time we've talked about issues of water and the pollution of that water. And to that end, residents of Hoosick Falls were at the New York State Capitol this week to demand hearings on the water crisis there that has revealed high levels of PFOA, a toxic chemical in many people's bloodstreams. A major controversy over this. It spreads over the line into Vermont. They did not get hearings, but they did get a private meeting with a top aide to Governor Cuomo.
Okay, so David, there is nothing more important than the water we drink, period. There will be those who don't want the bad news. They want to know that their water is infected with lead and these terrible chemicals that people, residue of which people have left behind in their businesses. They don't want to know, because if they know, then they got to start replacing pipes and spending a lot of money on remediation. We have seen the disgrace of some school boards in New York leading the fight against finding out and testing, because their budgets are so tight and the governor has made them so tight with his various anti-tax, you know, actions, that they just don't want to know. They can't afford it. On the other hand, we can't afford not to. We have got to know whether there are chemicals in our water, in our bloodstreams, whether lead is present, whether these residues of businesses are present, because otherwise we are no better than an ostrich putting their head in the sand. This is incredibly important.
The deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history sent shockwaves this week around the world, Alan, and throughout our state. The LGBT community gathered in front of the Stonewall Inn in Greenwich Village in New York, and Governor Cuomo stood in front of the group. He not only called for unity and for the federal government to come up with a national gun policy, but touted New York, not only in gay marriage, but also the SAFE Act.
Well, look, there are those people who don't like the governor. Let's face it. He has an abrasive personality. And in some cases, like the calling off of the Moreland Act Commission and some of his aides now being implicated in, you know, pay to play up at, you know, the Buffalo Billions and other things like that, he has his issues. He has his problems. But I have always been a big commender of the governor who forced through a gun policy in this state, which really ought to be the policy of the United States. He did good. And he's right to brag about it, because it is an achievement that has really political consequences. You drive through upstate New York, you see a lot of signs decrying Cuomo's gun program. And it was an act of political courage. He did it. Why he did it is not as important to me as the fact that he did it.
Finally, Alan, the legislative session is wrapping up this week as we await to see what some of the final agreements are. Perhaps the one most important thing that many want to see, but critics say will probably only amount to a half measure, is something done on ethics.
Well, look, we all know that we have a disgraceful situation. We had the leaders of both the Senate and the Assembly on their way to jail. We do know that pay-to-play is a very strong thing in the legislature. People get elected. Their law firms or their consulting firms or others get business. They have established a way of a lifestyle, and they don't want to give it up. It's that simple. One of the things that has been espoused that should have been done, it's been done in the United States Congress, but not in the great New York State Legislature, is to put a limit on how much money you can earn on the outside, because that does cut down on this so-called pay-to-play. You know, you give money to a lawyer who is also a legislator, or a legislator who is also a lawyer, and it's perfectly legal. But we all know what it amounts to, a sort of legalized bribery. It's a terrible thing. And I'm hearing from rank-and-file members of the legislature who know me and know who I like and have great respect for, and they're saying, hey, don't blame it on us. We're for it. I say, yeah, well, as long as you keep not changing the ethics law, as long as you keep some of these bums in office and electing them, I have no beef for you. I have no sense that you're good, because you're making it happen. As Preet Bharara put it, you're enablers.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok.
We'll be right back.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. The deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history this week sent shockwaves around the world and throughout New York. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas reports Muslims and public officials in the state are calling for peace after Orlando.
Although it's still early in the investigation, we know enough to say that this was an act of terror and an act of hate.
President Obama addressed the nation on news that about 50 are dead and 53 hospitalized in the wake of the massacre at Orlando gay nightclub Pulse. The killings have stunned the gay community and the general public. 11th Ward Albany City Councilman Judd Crasher spoke late Sunday night.
It is important that we as a community, as a city, stand in solidarity with Orlando and all of the affected communities impacted by this act of hate.
Capital Region Muslims gathered to say they strongly condemn the attack. Dr. Shamshad Ahmad, president of the Masjid As-Salam Mosque in Albany, joined Crasher and other officials outside the Central Avenue House of Worship, where he said the entire Muslim community is suffering.
If someone carrying a Muslim name carries this kind of criminal activity, in a way, the whole Muslim community is to be considered suspicious. Therefore, we feel more saddened, more depressed with a situation with a criminal act committed by an individual who calls himself belonging to Muslim community.
Those gathered say attempts to use the Orlando tragedy as a means to perpetuate racism and xenophobia against the Muslim community will not be tolerated. Crasher believes in Albany. He calls the city a place that is safe for everyone,
including the LGBT community, including our Muslim brothers and sisters, a place that cherishes so much diversity.
Barbara Smith, a local activist and WAMC contributor, was tapped by Mayor Kathy Sheehan to speak at the Albany event.
We need to all work with each other to change not just laws and not just practices. We need to change culture, and that's a big job.
Sixth Ward Council member and President Pro Tem of the Albany Common Council, Richard Conti, says at a time like this,
we're all gay and lesbian, we're all Muslim.
Conti condemns Islamophobia, homophobia, and racism, saying none are tolerable in modern society.
It's important to remember the victims and the family and the friends and the communities that have been impacted, but also, again, the importance of coming together.
Moments of silence and candlelight vigils are scheduled across the Northeast, including a 5:30 vigil tonight at the Hudson Valley LGBTQ Community Center in Kingston. At 6, LGBTQA Vermonters will be gathering in Burlington at the First Unitarian Universalist Society on Pearl Street, then marching down Church Street to City Hall Park. At the same time, the Pride Center of the Capital Region will be holding a vigil at West Capitol Park. Another 6 o'clock vigil is to be held on the steps of Schenectady City Hall. And there are links to several other vigils at WAMC.org. Kim Fountain, director of the Pride Center of Vermont, says on that group's website, quote, June 12 will be forever etched in our community's history as a day of extraordinary grief. It should be noted that prior to the Orlando shooting, an ISIS affiliate released a hit list with the names of more than 8,000 people, more than 600 of them Florida residents. The Albany office of the FBI did not immediately respond to a request for comment.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1625 or just listen on the web at WAMC.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.